sin will be our nation's doom. We need more preaching in America, for Jesus is coming soon. Who will go to America, land of the red, white, and blue? Who will go to America? Tell me, brother, why not you?
Our Savior sent his children forth to go to every
field is within our country's shores. So who will go to America? She needs Jesus Christ the Lord. Who will go to America? Land of the
Last Sunday, I had a pastoral type message, and this Sunday will also be a pastoral type of a message. I promise if you will abide by these principles in the Bible, you'll do better at work, you'll do better at your relationship with your wife, your children, here in our church. And this truth, or these truths that we'll share, can really help you. Romans chapter 3, look at verse number 9, and we'll go down to verse number 18. Of course, these great doctrinal chapters, letting all of us know, Jews and Gentiles, we are all sinners before a perfect and holy God. And verse number 9, what then are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So who's God referring to? Us, all of us, Jews and Gentiles. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. If you're seeking after God, it's because God has worked in your heart, and he's doing what he can, and you just have obeyed the impulses of the Holy Spirit. But there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. That's us. That's all of us. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Really, what the Holy Spirit's here is just painting a really ugly picture of who we are without Christ. Their throat is an open sepulcher. So what does that mean? That means the things that we say are like a casket with a dead body in it. But their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. I know none of us have ever done that, but it's the people at the other church. The poison of asps. Those asps are poisonous snakes, is under their lips. Okay, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Father, help us this morning to understand these very important truths from thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. The devil has many different names, and we're going to see one that many of us know. The devil, one of his names is Accuser of the Brethren. So who's the brethren? Those of us that are born again. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Of course, we have an illustration of that in the story of Job. Now look over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse number 1. John chapter 8 and verse number 1. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. By the way, we don't know if this woman was the married woman, or if this woman was maybe she could have been a prostitute that was involved with a married man. We don't know the details, but this woman was literally, by the way, maybe her husband caught her. We don't know the details, but this woman was caught. No cameras, none of that. She was caught in those days. They didn't have all that stuff, but she was caught in the act of adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they brought this woman to Jesus. By the way, they were trying to trick Jesus. So they set her in the midst. Verse 4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses... This is them speaking to Jesus. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Okay, verse 6. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Remember that word, accuse. Accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they had continued asking him, so you just picture Jesus going down, he's writing, nobody knows what he wrote. Everybody speculates, but we don't know. He's writing something maybe on the dust or the dirt there. So when they continue asking him, and he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So he said, okay, the law, they said, the law says, Moses said, we're supposed to stone her. And what do you say, Master? And Jesus said, okay, fine. you guys, whoever has no sin, go ahead, pick up the stones and cast them at her. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, a second time here. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out. You say, what were they convicted of? They're convicted because Jesus said, hey, anybody that doesn't have a sin, you can go ahead and throw a stone. And they started thinking. By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself, but often when I'm about to accuse somebody, it's like the Holy Spirit says, how about you? If these scribes and Pharisees that Jesus called whited sepulchers, if they had a conscience to think at their own sin, I think those of us are born again, blood bought Christians. When we're about to accuse somebody, we might want to think about our own sins. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus, first of all, we need to understand in this John chapter 8, Jesus in no way was condoning any type of sin, nor should we. He did tell the lady that was caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. So don't take this scripture out of context and live a loose life and say, hey, the lady in adultery, they didn't throw stones at her. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Secondly, we see Jesus was dealing with men that were trying to catch him in some compromise. Verse 6, that the Bible says that they might have to accuse him. And so the way Jesus handled it was in relations to what these Pharisees were trying to do. Thirdly, Jesus did address the accusers in this story more than the accused. Often, accusers have a wrong motive. See, what do you mean? Sometimes it's vengeance. If Charlie does something to me, guess what? My binoculars are a lot closer on him than they are on Brother. Where'd Brother Myers go? Oh, you couldn't handle the fire up here, could you? Okay. Often accusers have a motive, okay? And these accusers did have a wrong motive. It might be vengeance. Or if I fail, I'm looking for somebody that failed more than me so I can accuse them. It'll make me feel better. You don't do that, but I do. Let me share a few thoughts about accusers. Number one, or letter A, let's not be characterized by being an accuser. The Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. By the way, we have to deal with problems. Okay, I'm a judge in my family. You know, I said, judge not. I talked about that last week. But there is a book, there's a book in the Bible called Judges. So there are areas that we have to judge. But don't be characterized, might you as a husband and you as a wife and those of us that maybe we're just single Christians or whatever our status is, let's do all we can not to be characterized as a Satan is characterized as the accuser of the brethren. Let's stay off accusing websites. Don't act so innocent. Now, you say, what's an accusing website? It's these websites that listen, you know when somebody does, there used to be a day where, listen, you took care of your family, let's take care of our church, and let's forget what everybody else is doing. You say, why? It's none of our business. Nowadays, somebody can't blow their nose wrong without the whole, not the whole city, not the whole state, but the whole country finding out about it. Stay off accusing. You say, I don't know how to use a website. Well, then don't worry about that. It's none of our business what's going on in other people's lives. Lost people down the street, let's get them saved. Let's not accuse them. The closer, letter C, the closer you get to somebody or something, the easier it is to accuse. Look, everybody's pretty from a distance. Everybody's good. Listen, I got a good physique until you get close to me. Don't laugh. There's serious things and there's laughing things. That was serious. I was going to say I have a great physique when you get close to me, just a good one from a distance. The closer you get to somebody or something, the easier it is to be tempted to be like Satan, to accuse them. Let me say this. It's easy to accuse a spouse after you get married. She's perfect before you get married. Charlie, you were perfect before you got married. Not anymore. Okay? It's easier to be like Satan and to accuse. By the way, let me just sort of throw this out there. The only reason the girl at the office looks better than your wife is because you don't know how she yells at her husband at home. That's right. Listen, we're all a bunch of sinners. You're going to find out the same thing about your, you know, and so quit looking at someone else's, quit coveting someone else's spouse, quit coveting someone else's thing. Just appreciate what God's given us. It's easy to accuse our spouse. It's easy to accuse friends once you get to know them. Friend, listen, we all have that distant friend in another state. We're so close. I wish they, no, you don't want them to move here. You're going to be fighting with them just like you're fighting with the ones right now. We're all close to people that we don't know. It's easy to accuse our friends. Very few people have really close friends that they spend a lot of time with. You say, why? They spend a lot of time with them. They're not close friends anymore. By the way, if we're good Christians, we can overlook, we can forgive, we can just say, you know what? They're just like me, a sinner. Brother Howes used to say, you know, I've tried to keep my distance from my godly friends just so that I'm not tempted to be negative towards them. He said, I traveled with Dr. John Rice for years, and he said, but I kept a little distance. He said, because I did not want to get so close to him that I would lose a little respect for him. He said, I was on what do you call them? You get on those boats and cruise. Instead of my preaching, I was on a cruise with Dr. Rice, and he said every night, Mrs. Hiles and brother Mrs. Rice, he said we played dominoes every night, and he said every night Brother Rice beat us every night, and he said one night we got lucky and beat him. He said, John R. Rice, the great evangelist, the great preacher, the great author, the preacher on revival, the preacher on the Holy Spirit. He said, when he lost, he got his dominoes, put them in the box, and just walked up. He didn't say anything. He said, what a sore loser. Nothing. Didn't say bye. You've heard the story. Lester Roloff always preached on TV. He had two sermons. One, whatever he read that morning in the Bible. And number two was television. And, you know, he said, we don't have antennas. You know, the antennas, the mark of the beast and all that stuff. And he said one time, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was right over here preaching. You've heard the story before. Lester Roloff was preaching on television. You ought to not have a television. A television is satanic, and it's going to fill your family with a bunch of immoral junk, and it's just polluting. Boom, 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 boom. And Brother Howes was here, and Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was on the platform, and someone else was over there, and he leaned over Dr. Hiles. He was a young pastor, and he says, I don't care what he says. I love Lucy. You almost think, wow, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is a little... Lucy, man, she wasn't a good wife. She was a snake. I'm accusing her. You heard the story? Brother House tells a story about it. Lester Rawls used to say, he said, you're eating all that junk? He said you're going to die. Lester Rawls, we went to Brother Rawls, going to drop off a man at Brother Rawls' place in Corpus Christi once, and you can't even bring coffee on the property. Now, they told us, they said, the staff all hit it like drugs. They make sure nobody's watching them. They bring the coffee. No sugar, no white flour, none of that. No lobster, no crab, no unclean fish, only, you know, scale fish and all that. And Lester Rolfe, he said, Brother Jack, he said, you are going to die from all that junk you're eating. Of course, Brother Howes would say, Brother Roloff, you're going to die in a plane crash, because and he did. But one time they were preaching together, and he went to a conference, and Lester Roloff was there early, and he didn't know that Dr. Howe was going to get there early, and Lester Roloff was off in the corner eating, and he was eating fried chicken, gravy, and potatoes. Brother Howe walks up and peeks over. He says, Brother Lester. He said, I'd rather catch my mom drinking beer than seeing you do that. You know, you get caught. Look, from a distance, like, wow, this guy is so disciplined, and he has so much character, and he eats carrot greens for breakfast, and, you know, he eats, you know, whole, raw, whatever, all raw, you know, almonds for lunch. Then you get to know him. It's like every once in a while he gets himself a Coca-Cola too. What's the point? Listen, you get close to someone, it's not a free pass to say, I know about you. You know what it is? It might be a free pass to be like Jesus and say, listen, I'm not going to accuse you. It's easy to accuse your church. Now, Brother West has come here many times. He loves our church. And I hinted at them, I said, if you hung around here a while, you'd be just like the rest of us, and you'd see our wrinkles, and you'd see our gray hairs, and you'd see that some of us have spiritual bad breath. It's always the church over there that's the better church, okay? Every church is filled with a bunch of sinners. Hopefully they're sinners saved by the grace of God. But it's easy when you get close to a church, you get close to a friend, your spouse. By the way, it's hard to stay in a church for a long time. You say, why? You find out. You find out Brother Myers is not as nice as he should be. You actually find out that sometimes he yells at his wife in the parking lot. But his wife yells a lot louder at him than he does at her. If you're a visitor, I'm just kidding. You find out that Brother Ray, when he preaches, he's supposed to be teaching a Sunday school class in the Filipino ministry. We call him the Filipino tornado. Man, he preaches so fast and he yells so loud, and he's preaching at sins no one's ever heard of. It's easy to be in a church for a while. You hear first few weeks, first few months, maybe in the first few years, and then you find out, whoa, I saw one of the staff members sleeping in church. By the way, I was at a church once where the staff member was sleeping on the platform. I beat him. Okay? It's easy to be, it's easy to have that spirit of accusation when you're close, after you're married for a while, and then you get close to friends, you're in a church for a while. By the way, it's easy to accuse those that have sinned against you. It's an amazing thing if Brother Bobby sinned against Brother Cody, but he's never sinned against me. Brother Bobby skins against Chip, and he never sins against me. Brother Bobby's a wonderful Christian. But the day that he says one cross word about me, Brother Bobby is Ichabod as far as God's concerned. It might be a good idea for people to realize just because you have a little spiff with somebody doesn't mean they're a bad Christian. Maybe you have a personality conflict. Maybe they did sin, but it doesn't mean, don't write them off. Listen, they're a wonderful Christian for 20 years, and all of a sudden they somehow, maybe they sinned against you or accidentally, or maybe it was intentional. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just might mean that they're a sinner just like you and I are. It's easy to accuse those that have sinned against you. It's easy to accuse our friends. It's easy to accuse those that we're close to in a church. It's easy to accuse it's easy to accuse those on the job site out here. Come on, guys, let's just get with it. We were all good friends until Charlie took my drill. We were all good friends until we see this guy. He holds the wall up better than putting up the plywood. By the way, men, quit criticizing the ladies for gossip if you're going to gossip about the men over on the job site. Sometimes we get like little women. We go, brother so-and-so, he's not working so hard. Pray for him. By the way, he's a volunteer, so maybe you ought to go buy him a quarter pounder with cheese. Amen? You say what? You're getting close to people. There's people. Listen, we've been out there for now, in September, it'll be 2 years working on that construction site. And some people volunteer all the time. And, of course, the staff are out there all the time. You're getting to know people. So there's a few of you. You know, it's like, wow. You know, I'm a little irritated with him. Well, he's probably irritated with you, too. He just doesn't tell anybody because he's a better Christian than you. It's easy to accuse. Let's not accuse just because we know something about somebody. Say, well, wait a minute. But it's true. And I say this probably every 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. How many have ever done something you don't want anybody to know about? Raise your hand. Wow, we have a few perfect people in church. How many have a child that has ever done something that you hope to the Lord that the church doesn't find out? Raise your hand. Okay, wives, this one's for you. How many have a husband? You ladies, thou shall not bear false witness. How many have a husband that you're like, I hope no one ever finds out what he did? Raise your hand. Do you know most of the ladies in our church could put their husbands in jail? You better believe it. Hey, take away that, you don't get that halo look. Cheating your taxes? We have a tax collector. We're Karina, I got one right here. She's going to throw you in prison. Around here, be careful. We got people in all kinds of different professions. Watch it, Rob. Don't confess your sins and leave it at the altar there. If all of us knew everything about each of us, none of us would like any of us. So why don't we just do this? If you find out something about somebody, pray for them. If you scripturally have a reason to go talk to them, as the Bible says, talk to them, but don't tell anybody about it. By the way, if you come to me in counseling, I don't tell my wife. People come up and talk to my wife like Mrs. Esposito. They act like my wife knows all of she doesn't know anything. I don't tell Brother Myers. I don't tell Brother Beck. I certainly don't tell Brother Pineda. Instagram, Facebook, staff members can't have Facebook. You're fired. When you are tempted to accuse, look at your own sin. That's what Jesus said. Again, adultery, 2,000 years. Nowadays, adultery is like, oh, well, everybody does it. By the way, everybody doesn't do it. Just trying to make it sound like everybody does it. 2,000 years ago, that was real. It was as bad as it should be. But what did Jesus say? How about you guys? Go ahead and pick up the stones if you don't have a sin. Every time you're about to accuse somebody, by the way, I don't know if the Holy Spirit just deals with me like this and he doesn't with you, but I sort of think we have the whole same Holy Spirit. When I'm about to accuse somebody, even if it's a personal accusation, I mean, I'm just musing on it in my heart. I'm not going to tell anybody. It's like the Holy Spirit says, how about your sin? You say, oh, Pastor, are you a big sinner? I'm just as big of a sinner as you are. How about your sin? So, Pat, you know, these people, they're judgmental. How about your judgmental spirit? So every time you want to accuse somebody, you know what you need to do? You need to think deep down. But we're not supposed to accuse people. And that's almost like spiritual shark repellent to say, by the way, we're not saying we're going to let false doctrine come in the church. If there's false doctrine in the church, we're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to approach them, and if they don't deal with it, we're going to mark them. That's not what we're not talking about false doctrine. We're just talking about pettiness. We're talking about we get to know each other. It's easy to be critical. It's easy to have an accusation type of a spirit. Don't mark somebody off because they failed. Failing doesn't make anyone a failure. See, sometimes what we do is just mark them. Psht, psht. I'm glad God is not done with anybody. By the way, just because someone's failed in one area doesn't mean they're a failure. You know, David was a horrible father. But he was a wonderful Christian. Now, you fathers, let's be good, godly, wise fathers and good Christians. But if someone fails in their, if someone fails in some area, it doesn't mean Eli failed as a father, but he reared, you know, some people, and this is, we don't condone this, it's not right, it's not wise. Some people do better with someone else's child than with their own children. I'm not saying that's best, but because this guy or this lady or this family failed with their children, it doesn't mean they're bad Christians. Don't mark them. Don't accuse them. They made a mistake. Maybe they made some bad calls and maybe they were negligent. But do you know John Wesley had a horrible marriage. Some say that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, the Wesleyan, some people say that he was a great evangelist because his wife and him fought so much. So he said, it'd be better for me to travel a lot. And let me say lastly, realize Jesus came so that your sins could be forgiven, not to accuse you. I read stories like we just read in John chapter 8. And I think of I'm glad that Jesus took me just as I was when I was a lost person. I'm glad that I did not have to sanitize myself because I was not able to sanitize myself when I was a lost person. I've met so many in my Christian life, I've met so many people that have people in this church, prison, murderers. I know some full. I've shared the story years ago. A guy came to our church and he gave a testimony how that he killed a man with his own hands. As a young man, killed him, beat the guy to death, and God saved him. If today, if you are not sure that you are on your way to heaven because of your sins, God doesn't want to condemn you. God wants to forgive you and save you from your sins. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a moment.